King Sagara waited in vain for the return of the princes, who had gone in search of the sacrificial horse. After some days, he called his grandson, Amsuman, and said, "I am anxious to know what has happened to the princes who went to Patala. You are brave, so go there well armed and find out what has happened, and come back crowned with success." Amsuman went closely following the path of the princes and reached the netherworld, where he saw and paid salutations to the mighty elephants standing guard at the four quarters. These guardians of the quarters uttered encouraging words and said he would succeed in his mission. When in due course Amsuman entered and went round Patala, he was delighted when he found the sacrificial horse grazing contentedly there, but was perplexed and distressed when he saw heaps of ashes all over the place. Could they be all that remained of his valiant uncles? Garuda, the bird king, carrier of Lord Vishnu and brother of Sumati, Sagara's second wife, who chanced to be there, told Amsuman, "Those ash heaps are all that is left of the 60,000 sons of Sagara, who are consumed by the wrathful glance of sage Kapil. Dear child, take the horse and complete the yajna. If these ashes are to be watered according to custom, so that the souls of the princes may rest in peace, Ganga should be brought down here from the heavenly world of the demigods." Amsuman rushed home with the horse and told the king all that he had found and learned. Sagara was immersed in sorrow at the fate that had overtaken his sons. However, the horse, having been brought back, he completed the sacrifice. Grieving over his lost sons and despairing of ever bringing Ganga down to the netherworld, he died disconsolate. Amsuman succeeded Sagara as king of Ayodhya and was in turn succeeded by Dilip. Bhagirath came after Dilip. Amsuman and Dilip, though happy and blessed in other respects, died grieving that they were unable to bring Ganga to Patala for the salvation of their forefathers. Bhagirath was a valiant king. He was childless. Desiring progeny and hoping to bring Ganga down, he left for Gokarna for performing penance, leaving the kingdom in the hands of his ministers. Bhagirath went through severe austerities, with fire on all sides and head exposed to the hot sun, and taking food but once a month, he continued his tapas. Brahma, pleased with the tapas, appeared before Bhagirath and asked, "What would you have?" Bhagirath told him his two wishes. "If you have pity on me, bless me with a child to continue the line of my forebears. Secondly, cursed by sage Kapil, my ancestors' bodies lie as a heap of ashes in Patala. The ashes should be washed by the waters of the Ganga so that their souls may ascend to heaven. May you be pleased to order Ganga to go down." Brahma replied, "The demigods are pleased with your penance. Your wishes are granted. But there is one difficulty. The earth cannot withstand the force of Ganga's descent. Lord Shiva alone can stand it. Therefore, direct your penance and prayers to him." Bhagirath renewed his austerities and continued long without food or water, and at last won Lord Shiva's grace. Shiva appeared and said to Bhagirath, "I shall fulfill your wish. I shall receive Ganga on my head. May her grace be upon you." When Lord Shiva promised to help Bhagirath, Ganga began her descent as ordered by Lord Brahma. In her arrogance, she thought she would fall on Lord Shiva's head and sweep him away towards Patala. Shiva decided to teach Ganga a lesson. And the moment he willed it, the flood of waters that fell on his head were held by his matted hair, as in an infinite receptacle. Ganga tried her best, but not a drop could emerge from the tangled maze of Lord Shiva's matted locks. This was a lesson to Ganga, to be sure, but a heartbreaking disappointment to Bhagirath. There was nothing for him but to pacify Lord Shiva with more austerity. This he did, to such good purpose, that Shiva took pity on him and gently let out the waters of the Ganga in a lake called Bindu Saras, from where they flowed down in 7 small separate streams. 3 of them flowed west and 3 east, and the 7th river followed Bhagirath, who was full of joy at the approaching salvation of his ancestors. Ganga followed Bhagirath's triumphal chariot. The waters danced and shone like lightning flashes as the river made its course, and the demigods and celestials assembled above to witness the grand sight. Sometimes slow and sometimes fast, now sliding down and now jumping up, the river went on dancing behind Bhagirath's chariot, and the heavenly beings enjoyed the sight all the way. On her course, Ganga damaged the sacrificial platform of a sage who had mystical powers and whose name was Janu. Angered, the rishi took the entire flood in his palm and drank it off. So Ganga disappeared again, and Bhagirath was sorely perplexed. The demigods and rishis approached Janu and begged him to forgive Ganga and allow Bhagirath to reap the fruit of his great austerities and perseverance. The sage relented and let Ganga out through his right ear. The devas were glad and blessed Ganga thus. Coming out of the rishi's body, as out of your mother's womb, you are now Janavi, Janu's daughter. There was no further hindrance or mishap, and Ganga reached Patala through the ocean. With the holy waters, Bhagirath performed the funeral rites of his ancestors and secured for them their entry to heaven. Because Bhagirath's efforts brought Ganga down, the Ganges River is also known as Bhagirathi. After concluding this narrative, sage Vishvamitra blessed Ram and Lakshman. "The sun is setting," he said. "Let us say our evening prayers in the waters of the Ganges, whom your ancestor brought down to this world." Those who bathe in the holy waters of the Ganges, or read or listen to this divine story with devotion, will be cleansed of sin and endowed with virtue, strength, and unflagging zeal.